think so. Who knows? Just listen in.
Okay. Forgive us for being a few minutes late getting started. We were posted at 10 o'clock. We've got planning and zoning discussion. All commissioners present, and Eddie Coxey and Joe Tarvin with Aegis in the audience.
Before we get started, actually, in the code book, let me bring to your attention. I've had several phone calls in my office from citizens of Taney County and from Department of Natural Resources concerning a project that hasn't actually come through planning and zoning at this particular time. There's a lot of clearing of property and everything going on. I have talked to the engineer for the project and the developer, and the engineer will be in my office on Friday, and we have discussed the need of a land disturbance permit. But as of this time, I've had many people calling, ask me if they had any kind of permits of any kind, and I've had to answer no, that they have not. We have not, since they are coming in the office, we've not sent them any kind of a cease and desist order or a stop work order or anything like that. Our goal is to try and bring them into compliance from where we are now and move on forward. But DNR has already had calls from other citizens of Taney County, and I don't know where their investigation is or anything like that. But so bring that to your attention, and I would proceed however you would have me to go.
My only comment would be, if you don't have them in the office, I think you, on a call I had with you today, was Thursday. Are they going to be, if they're not here, say, by Friday, we probably need to proceed with some sort of process, which we normally would follow, which is a cease and desist letter.
I can put a letter in the mail today if you'd like, just a letter of correspondence. It wouldn't be an official letter as far as notice of violation or anything like that, if you would choose. I can go to a notice of violation, and then our second deal is a letter of correction. A letter of correction actually gives them the amount of time to 10 days to be in compliance, or that's when we would place a stop work order or anything like that. But, I have talked to the representative, and he did call back a second time and asked to set up an appointment to set and go over the project, we did discuss in length what was going to be necessary as far as the land disturbance permit and bonding and the sediment erosion control plans, best management practices, that kind of thing like that. So I suppose they could be giving us the application on Thursday. I don't know if they will, but I can try and find out about that and see. And if we need a letter to be on file, I can go ahead and get that in the mail today. You know, that it looks like we've... according to our code book, if you're doing anything other than brush hogging or clearing by hand, anything else would disrupt the ground cover and allow erosion to occur. And that's when the land disturbance permit is necessary, when it's more than an acre of land.
Okay.
So that's how we normally pursue that. So
explain for me, if you don't mind, the procedure. You're clearing more than an acre of land.
Yes, sir.
And maybe there's a question regardless, but it's not agriculture, or it may be questionable to be agriculture. If it's agriculture, my understanding is you don't have to have a permit.
That is correct.
But let's say you're clearing more than an acre of land and it's not necessarily agriculture. What's the process?
Normally when we see something like that going on, we go out on site, and the people you see doing the clearing are not usually the owners of the property or anything like that, but we just ask what's going on. You know, and they normally know what they're clearing for and what they're doing, and they'll make mention, and then if they're not the owner, then we contact the owner and say, we've noticed this going on out here, and we need to inform you that you're going to need a permit from us and from DNR.
Hang on, Eddie. What I'm saying is, I'm an individual, I'm aware mm-hmm. that I have to get a permit.
Okay.
And I come to you before mm-hmm. I start. What do I do?
You would come in and you'd get an application and you'd fill that out. Along with that application, there's a set of technical plans required that are called sediment erosion control plan and actually your land disturbance plan. Here's what we're doing, and most of the time based off of topographical information. And with that... With those plans, what we're looking to see is that you have observed the best management practices that DNR has set forth in there, and they've got a publication for that to ensure that when this land is all disturbed, if we get a tremendously heavy rain, nothing will happen. So you bring in this set of plans, and it shows where your silt fences are going to go and where your check dams and different things like that, how you're going to enter and exit the property. And sometimes we get into the situation when that's going on where there's a tremendous amount of debris left on the road and everything. So there's ways to make sure that that doesn't happen. So they get all that together. They bring that to us. We review the site, and then for steepness, proximity to water, things like that, and then we assess a bond, and minimum $500 per acre, maximum $1,000 per acre, depending on what their engineer has said they are going to disturb and what they're doing, if they're putting in roads or a portion of it or whatever the case might be. They then pay the application fee and issue the bond to with us as a primary beneficiary, whether it be a letter of credit or performance bond or cash or, you know, check or something like that. And then we issue the permit to them. They take our permit. They go to DNR. DNR issues them a permit, you know, educates them a little bit more on their need to have on-site plans and what they expect as far as the maintenance of the best management practices on site, and log for that. And then they would go to work at it.
And I'm not sure I followed you. So they have to get a permit from Taney County?
Yes, sir.
They also have to go to DNR and get a permit?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Two places?
Yes, sir. Now, regardless of whether they get one from us or not, if we're doing this or not doing this, DNR is still going to require one.
So, and maybe this is not a smart question to ask, but I'll ask it. Why? Why do we have them going to Taney County when they're going to have to go to the state also? Let me ask this. Is that the right thing to do?
Well,
do we need to have them going two places?
And I've been asking the same thing. In so doing, I talked with Valerie at DNR, and I said, Valerie, for all the hassle that it is for the county, why do we even want to do this? And she gives me the of course, we're local for them, and we know more what's going on in the county. But in working with them, they are seeing a lot of things happen for the quality of water in Taney County. And when I mentioned this to her, she said, "Would you ask your commissioners if they would entertain a meeting with me and a few other people to come down and to show the benefits of what's happened since Taney County has been involved in this land disturbance and working with the Department of Natural Resources as far as clean water in the county and everything like that." So I think it's more of a, from their perspective, that we're local, we're here every day, we see what's going on, people call us, whereas they wouldn't naturally call DNR if they see something like that going on. And it's just the local agency taking care of, you know, what's local, similar to what we do with FEMA. You know, FEMA steps down to SEMA, SEMA steps down to us, and everything, because we're local here. So I don't know that we're required by any laws or anything at this particular time to be involved with it. It is something that evidently has been in this code book since we started, and it was deemed necessary at that time. But it is a source of contention, and our permits, basically a gatekeeper for Department of Natural Resources. Our permit's very minimal. We have a pass-through account, and you'll see it on my budget line, to where the county had actually accumulated quite amount of dollars that from land disturbance accounts that had not been closed out or anything over the period of years, and we've been trying to bleed that off this year and next year because potentially the GCR could have taken a pretty huge hit. But it is a lot of paperwork and maintenance on our part, and then checking to see what's going on, and then when people leave us, they can take our permit over. When they give it to DNR, it walks through pretty fast. I mean, it's like walk in and in just a little bit you're going to walk out with your permit, because we've already done everything on the local level. But their permit will cost them, you know, probably minimum $300-$350 at DNR, and I think ours is $50 total, and we put everything in place.
Well, I drove, one reason besides a couple other ones, but one reason, I drove by a property Saturday going out to cut firewood that had been excavated or had been cleared, and So it's been on my mind, and I think it's important that through all this discussion we've had recently on planning and zoning, we don't want properties cleared and water carrying the dirt down into the lakes. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't want that in Taney County. Yes. I don't think there's anybody that really does want that. On the other hand, the rules are agriculture don't have to do it, and that's just the way it is, and that's okay. And I think most people in agriculture that's going to be clearing land have got enough sense. They don't want to lose their dirt, so they're going to be careful how they do it.
Yes,
sir. So I don't want us to lose the benefit, as you talked about DNR mentioning, but at the same time, one, we don't need the contention you also mentioned, but two, if we've got two entities, the state and the local, doing the same thing, that's not right. I don't feel that's good for our citizens, and possibly we should consider just doing away with that at the local level with emphasis on your department, and even asking maybe our road and bridge people to keep an eye out for big areas that are cleared without any erosion control. And
we could,
I don't know,
we could move from what we're doing to more of a notification if y'all would choose to want to do that to DNR or something like that.
And I'm not, let me interrupt, I'm not saying necessarily the going to DNR, which is one aspect, but as you said, communication with folks in the county that, hey, there are these state laws that you may be violating here, and just have the good practices information available for them. And
you know, it puts us in a situation to where if we know something's been advertised or widely spread around that this is what's happening, and then we see the individual and they say, no, I'm going to be doing this, and then after everything's all said and done, it comes out that what we heard was going to be happening does happen. There's no penalty or anything for it. On the other hand, the developer has a little bit of an outlay. You know, his $50 permit fee and then whatever it costs him for his sediment erosion control plan and putting those proper measures in place, which you would expect that they would do anyway. But then any bonds or anything like that we require go back to them 100%. You know, we don't keep any of that money or anything like that. So it's pretty minimal. It is a cost of doing business, but people will do what they can to not have anything out of pocket. I understand that, and nobody wants to pay money they don't have to pay or anything. So, and they don't want any influence that they don't have to be under or anything like that. So
I didn't mean to use too much time here, but I think it is important. So maybe the request of DNR to come meet with the county commission, I may be gone, but I think that would be something positive.
I'd like to hammer them a little bit myself.
I'm not talking about hammering them.
I'm talking about hammering them.
I heard you, Danny, but I'm saying that's what you want to do. I'm not talking about hammering them. I'm talking about taking use of the positive things that we could get from them.
And I, like I say, they may have a lot of facts and figures that we're not aware of. I don't know. I'm just saying it is a source of contention. I understand it. It leaves my office and my staff kind of in a position that what do we do? You know, we don't want to go out here. And I mean, I come out to explain to you, yes, I understand you're on agricultural land. Is your project agricultural? If it is, I turn around, get in my car, and say, have a nice day. But a lot of times, you know, it's just kind of a...
It shouldn't make any difference, Eddie. If they've got more than the amount of lot of acreage, if they've got a buffer zone that they're working, mm-hmm. if their project was turned down, had this land cleared, and he wanted to turn it into agricultural... Mm-hmm. Sow it down, whatever, shouldn't make a bit of difference whatsoever. I listened to all this garbage about the erosion control whenever the airport did their project out there, and anybody, including every commissioner here and everybody in this county, could go to Coon Creek and to Turkey Creek and watch it run red.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So the 48-inch line that busted at in Christian County that runs sewage into our lakes that we try to clean up. They can argue all his points about what effect it's had. Our sewer program has benefited the water in Tampa County, not the fact that Springfield let a 48-inch line run for 3 weeks into our lakes and wasn't even fined. So, I mean, I can listen to all that stuff I want to. Now, when Taney County decides they want to pay Mr. Cook or whoever's taxes, then I'd say that they've got some say-so what he does within a side 1,000-acre structure. But until they do, and he's got a buffer zone that you can't even see from the outside edges, I think they're to keep their nose out of somebody else's business.
And that's what I'm saying, is this something we even want to be dealing with?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying to you guys. It's always going to be a source of contention. Because as a staff, we're either going to have to enforce it or the judge is going to say, why aren't you enforcing your rules? One way or the other, if somebody gets angry, you know how it is with planning and zoning. If I tell you it's okay, he gets angry. Mm-hmm. If I tell you it's not okay, he's fine and dandy, but you're angry.
Right.
And so if it's something that...
Eddie, going back to using me as an example, we did everything by the rules when mm-hmm. we did our subdivision.
Yes, sir.
We did every stinking thing yes, by the rules. I didn't have any problem with it. But some people have a problem with
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
And some people that pay taxes on property are for a lifetime, or their folks paid taxes, they have a problem with it. And I don't blame them, and I don't want to see. I thought that we were trying to ease toward maybe easing the tension of this being brought to a vote through a petition, but we start getting out here on somebody's 1,000-acre piece of property and start telling them what they can do in the middle of it, I think then we're asking for it to come to a vote, and I think if certain people push the advertisement, then it could pass.
Well, and right now we're stuck with what our book says, and
right.
if somebody that's opposed to that says this county's not doing what their book says, so we're at an opportunity where we can change this stuff.
I think just what you said is perfect. Why are we doing this? Why don't we change? Why don't we? If it's a DNR violation, let DNR handle it, and that we can be advised. We could be advised about it, but that's a DNR problem, just like we do other state laws, no matter what they are.
And that's why she asked me if they could schedule a meeting. So I bring that to you. But I do want you to see how it catches us as a staff kind of in the middle here.
Well,
legally and as employees and everything. So it's a hard thing for us to... try and decide who's going to scream and who's not going to scream and that kind of thing. And it needs to be just applied fairly. I guess what I'm saying, however we're going to do it, it just needs to be done fairly across the board. But is it something that we even want to continue? Hence the meeting. They wanted to talk to you. Because I just mentioned, I just don't know why it's a benefit to us. So,
Mr. Strophis.
Thank you. Whatever the rules are we have in place, we need to follow the rules.
Yes, sir.
So whatever we've done in the past, if it's the rules of plan and zoning, we've got to do that. And so that I understand. Now, the method in which we deliver the message is as important as the message. So, once again, if Great River is coming in to do a dirt disturbance permit, then let's be patiently waiting for them. And if they don't show...
And that's where I'm at.
Right.
So
I would just say, let's do nothing. If they don't show by Friday... Then, I'm going to call the owner of the property today,
okay,
and just touch base with them. But I believe there needs to, we got to follow what our rules on the books is. As bad as some people think they are, we've got to follow what we have.
I'd like to follow up because I sense Danny's pretty angry about it, and I think you and I are on the same page, and what I was trying to communicate was, A, our state regulations, agriculture is exempt. And I've been hammering this mm-hmm. for weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is.
It is.
The other point is that, and I think I heard you say this, Danny, is if we've got state regulations that have to be followed, why mm-hmm. should a citizen of Taney County have to get permits from two entities, the state and the local. I think I heard you say that. So I think you and I are on the same page on those issues. What I'm not sure if what you're saying is, I don't want our water polluted. Agriculture is exempt. That's all there is to it. That's just the way it is. But if we've got commercial projects happening in the county, I don't see that why that the local should have to do it when the state's going to do it anyway. But I don't want our water polluted. I don't want Turkey Creek to run red like you were talking about. Do you?
No, there's nobody does.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think anybody.
But they didn't take any effort that I've seen to put a stop to it.
Well, then I think we ought to have our hands slapped, so to speak. I don't have to mean meanly or anything, but if we allowed that to happen when there's state regulations out there, we should have been speaking up because it was clearly a commercial project. We should have been vocal to the state that, hey, you've got the law, you've got it, enforce that. You would want that enforced, right?
If they're going to place it on the books, well, but that's what the problem is we've got just what you're talking about. We've got they got to go here and get a permit. And I think that the project we're talking about, I think all that'll be in place. I think the guys out there are clearing some property. I don't see that it's any big deal that he's out there on his property clearing some acreage. I don't see that it's a big deal at all. But I think there's some people that don't want the project that have other interests in other locations that have caused a disturbance here. Not a land disturbance. I'm talking about a disturbance amongst the people because they don't want the project in that particular site. So they're trying to find any way they can to put a stop to the project. These things are time sensitive. And that's what I cannot seem to get across to P&Z members, to county commissions, to residents that are for planning and zoning. Some of these projects are time sensitive. Some of them financially are time sensitive. If the project doesn't go within a certain amount of time, then it doesn't go. So those kind of things are things that you're going to hear as arguments whenever you get to the point of where I don't want to see planning and zoning put to a vote of the people on the project, because if we lose total P&Z, we've got it in the cities, we've got it everywhere, but I don't want to see us lose total control. Now, it's what I'm afraid is going to happen when you start interfering with 1,000-acre tracts.
So, something for you guys to deliberate, we may or may not, but I think your first step is to, if you want to meet with Jennifer and her representatives from DNR, we'll need some dates.
I want to meet with them.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how the meeting will go, but I want to meet with them to understand.
Then I'll contact Jennifer and have her contact your secretaries.
Right.
And set that up.
I'm in favor of that.
And then she asked for that. But we do have two entities doing the same thing. Now, gentlemen, you've heard from many departments about enforcement. And our department, we don't really have any penalties or anything like that. I mean, there's some processes like that, but you know as well as I do that if we ever get into that situation, it goes 18 months or so before we can usually get anything before a judge or anything like that. So we've taken the position it's better to try and get these people into compliance than to try and get them into court or anything like that, because it's, you know, but this is a situation where we might want to consider, do we even want to be a part of it? Do we want to have to worry? Because we are then responsible to continue to visit these sites, to make sure the permits are kept current, to make sure their best management practices are maintained and taken care of. And if they don't work, then the procedure is you go see your engineer, tell him it's not working, and he develops something different for you.
We put ourselves in a position of policing. Is that what you're saying, Eddie?
Basically, yes, sir.
We put ourselves in policing area, which puts Taney County at the liability of a lawsuit when something goes wrong. And as we talked about Turkey Creek running red and the people that were supposed to take care of it didn't take care of it, but our policing agent didn't turn it in, so here we are, Taney County, faced with a lawsuit.
I mean, you know, there's many times I've gone out to check on areas like that, and exactly what the engineer requested was in place. There is an allowable amount of runoff allowed, you know, to leave the property, and unfortunately, it's probably a little more than a stream can handle. But you know, we'll go out, and if everything that the engineer has put in place is there, DNR has to make the call to say what your engineer did is not working, and that being the case, go back to the drawing board and let's get some new stuff. But you know, that's kind of how it works. We, you know, we let them know, you know, here's what's going on. But if we go out and everything's up and installed like it's supposed to be installed, you know, that's what we do. And if it's not effective, then that it goes back to the engineer. It's just kind of a tough situation, you know, gentlemen. And you know, DNR does have their own enforcement agency. When their field agent sees something, they talk with people. If it's not corrected, they turn it over to the enforcement agency. They back away from it and say, you have to deal with the enforcement agency now. We don't have that here.
I want to get on to the planning deal as quick as we can, because I think that this ties in exactly what we want to look at. Whenever you're rewriting mm-hmm. the book mm-hmm. and you see something that is double, mm-hmm. like we're talking about, Mr. Pendleton and myself here talking about the double permit process and all that, that be brought to at least the attention so that we can address it.
Right.
And it may be that it may be kept by a vote one way or the other. P&Z may say, well, that's perfectly fine, let's do away with part of that. So we're actually talking about what's going to go
right
into the
yes, sir. That is correct.
End of the book, and it's going to be a major issue.
And this is one of the issues that we had before, but you know, it's just you know, this is one of those deals where if the people just, you know, want to make sure they've done everything exactly right, they do this beforehand. But right now we're dealing with a large piece of land where the individual, although it's, you know, it's kind of been broadcast, this is what it's going to be. There's not an approved project, so it could turn out to be cattle. And if it was, if I was to make contact and he said, well, I'm just clearance over run cattle, I back off. Whether he runs cattle or not, it's not my concern. You know, so it's one of those areas that we just really aren't really equipped to, you know, to draw some lines, I guess, and say, we don't care if it's this, or no, we don't care, we don't want to be involved with it or something. So, but we need to make that decision. If we're going to do it, we ain't going to have to do it. And if we're not going to do it, then, or we've got to change it, what it says, because this has been in place for a long, long time. And it's pretty strict. You know, as far as if I come out to your place and you're doing this, you need a permit, unless you can, you know, unless you show me you're growing corn, I'll come back to look later to see if you're growing corn. You know, and we don't want to get into that.
The thing of it is all of us that have lived here for any time have seen such disastrous things happen as what went on South 65 on the right-hand side
sure.
of the road out there,
sure.
what went on Coon Creek cut off there mm-hmm. where they went in and mined and left those projects. Mm-hmm. Now, that's totally mining operation or whatever you want to call it that's being seen there. That is something that needs to be addressed by DNR.
Right. And I want to get into mining or quarrying or anything like that, because I've spent a lot of time with the state on that, and they've got a little bit of a different view than the way we view it. They want us to do some things as far as zoning and everything before. And we've kind of taken the, if you're dealing with zoning, then don't ask us about it because we don't do anything with it. And everything, but they're saying, you know, if somebody's quarrying or zoning, they need mining, they need to be zoned commercial or something like that. Now, we wouldn't have anything to do with the operation, but they're saying we should change their zoning from agricultural to something else and approve so that we know that that's there and that's a permitted use in in the commercial area or industrial area, whatever the case might be, and then we would back off and everything else would be handled by DNR. But they want us to basically give them approval to run a business there because it's, you know, by the zoning.
Okay. You mentioned earlier an engineering firm that they were going to come in Thursday.
Yes, sir.
That engineering firm, like many others that we have in the area, is a reliable...
Yes, sir. It's one that we're all familiar with. Yes, sir.
And always familiar with. So why wouldn't they be contacted by somebody, whether it be commission or P&Z, and say, look, we understand that they're fixing to start this project or it has been talked about. Mm-hmm. Have you already taken in consideration, do you have the permits mm-hmm. in place or something like that, to where it's not you go to the site and say, look, we're going to have to force you to stop this project because you haven't got these things in place.
Many times, and until they called and identified themselves and what they were working on, we don't know who it is.
Yeah.
The only thing that we can really know is who's the property owner of record.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then if we call the property owner, he says, well, hey, contact my engineering firm or whatever, we'd do that. But the ultimate responsibility goes to the property owner of record. If DNR or anybody like that steps in, they're not going to find the engineering company or anything like that. It always goes back to the property owner of record.
I think that, and Jim made a comment a while ago that I think is wise, and that is, and I look back at my life, I started converting a pole barn that was going to be a wood shop into a dog kennel mm-hmm. years ago before I was in this position. And I didn't have a clue that we had should gone to P&Z. Somebody saw it happening. Mm-hmm. They called me, and we went through the process. Well, in the process, and this is a little personal, but in the process, when we had the public hearing, my closest neighbor, longtime customer and friend, closest to me, no road relation, but he had to go around the road to get to him. He showed up at the meeting, and when I saw him there, I thought, holy smokes, he's been gone. Norm Vetter. When Norm Vetter, I saw him at the meeting, I thought, geesh, if Norm doesn't want me to have a dog kennel, if he's concerned about the noise, we're not going to have a dog kennel. We'll stop the project, just personally. I just didn't think about it, and that's my point.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't because they're not involved with it.
You know, and so anyway, we went through the process. Turned out he was in favor of it. If Chuck wants to do it, I'm for it. It was his mm-hmm. comment when he came up and spoke, so we went ahead with it. But again, my point is a lot of our Taney County citizens don't know about the code and mm-hmm. all that jazz mm-hmm. and land disturbance and this and that. I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be disturbing land without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do care about the water, and again, I think most everybody does, and that's where, with the right attitude, what Jim mm-hmm. said a minute ago, our planning and zoning comes and says to the citizen, hey, here are the rules, and here's some things you need to think about, and I think you do a good job, and I will pound my fist on the table with a smile on my face, and you and your staff have a difficult position many times when you go to properties. And I think you try to do that, and so attaboy.
I've been accused several times. Normally, I write letters to property owner of record, and I've been accused by many people of being too kind. But some of those letters that I've been accused of being too kind, when I'm informing them, the people still take it as a threat.
Right.
And you've read some of those, and you know what I'm talking about. So it just depends on which side that you're on.
Yeah.
My tone of voice or whatever, I try to keep it pretty monotone when I'm talking to people, but a lot of times it's considered threatening. I use my hands when I talk, y'all know that, but I don't ever point my finger into people's faces and stuff like that. It doesn't get me anywhere to do that because I'm asking them to come into compliance, and if they'll do it voluntarily, it happens a lot faster and it's a lot easier. But if they become angry, then everything gets balled up and we don't get anywhere. So, and I know that, but because of the fact of what we are and what we do, it automatically puts people on the defensive, you know, so, and they interpret things differently if you're defensive and everything. So,
good discussion. All right.
Okay, here we are.
Next issue.
As we talked last week, it was decided we would meet back today to look at possibility of some kind of procedure to get this knocked out and everything. And then I believe you gentlemen were going to review some RFQs and stuff, qualifications, things like that, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't have that information.
Well, anything. I thought you were going to... No, we don't have it either. Linda has it.
No, so I did not leave with that understanding.
Okay, all right.
So I came back today with a proposed schedule and thinking you were going to say, here's who we're going to use. So I did not go through any of that.
I have done a lot of thinking about this. If I could have just a second of input, because I think it goes along with what you wanted, Jim, and I think Chuck had kind of talked about it also. I think that Eddie needs to take, we need to designate him some time and let him start on certain factors of that code book and put that thing, as much of it as he can together. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the total code book, Eddie.
Yes.
I'm just talking about you just start working on it, and when you find something that is double talk or contradicts itself, that you make a note of it. At that point, you make a note of it, go on with your work, and bring that to us at a later date. And I think allowing him to do so gets us a long ways in this process. And if we have to hire an engineering firm, which we've already talked to one about an hourly rate and all that kind of stuff. If we have to do that, we'll go ahead and do that at a later date, but let him go through and take out the totally obvious things that are
similar
confusing
to what we've discussed today.
Yeah, similar to what we've discussed, but more like the 8 pages that we had, the paragraphs that you didn't understand, we didn't understand, and Mr. Paulson didn't understand. So.
What I proposed here is that we start spending 3 full days a week, or I do, 3 full days a week. Work, and I was actually working through sections here, and then that is totally dedicated to that, and then 2 half days on Tuesdays and Thursdays, half days to on that, and then on the Tuesdays and Thursdays catch up on what needs to be done in my office that the staff wasn't able to handle. So some things require my signature, different things like that, you know, catch up on that and return phone calls, things, whatever might need to be done. We discussed having somebody, I mentioned it to Frank yesterday, I got to visit with Frank Preston just a little while yesterday and mentioned that to him, and I said, Frank, I keep throwing you on the bus every time I get a chance. You know, Frank and John, I heard the meeting the other day too, and he said, you know, I can answer phone calls, and if people need to go a little higher up or whatever, something like that, we can do that. I think they're willing. I can't speak for Frank, but he didn't go, oh, I don't want to do that or anything like that. But, I think we could continue during this time of the year to do our meetings and the things that are required by us on these half days. We have to go out and film right now, but we're not seeing a lot of projects come through, so they don't take all day. Where we used to have to go out and film 8 or 10 projects, it could take all day to be out in the field to do that. So I think we need to be ahead before we bring somebody in to start writing. Are actually typing and everything. I think we need to have some material in front of them, and then when that starts, it goes into a kind of a continuous loop. You get this on Monday from me, and then on Friday, it doesn't matter, and then we review on Monday part of the day. We'll review what you've done, how it's formatted, and how we think it fits, problems that might have arise, everything like that, and then we can push that on forward and work on through. But I was looking at the possibility of trying to do 3 sections a week. And in some instances, that's not going to be a problem at all. But in some instances, we're going to have to stop and come and say, how do we want to deal with this? What do we want to do with land grading? Do we want to say, this is our position, and you know, you need to contact DNR or whatever the case might be, or something like that. So there will be times when we'll have to stop and schedule meetings or something like that. And maybe we can make a standing, during this time period, a standing meeting on Wednesdays at whatever. And if we need to meet, fine. If not, we cancel it out. But that would give me some concentrated time.
Let me say something.
Go ahead.
I think you've got a good layout here. I would rather you would work half days at this. Okay. You've got half days all the way through, okay, other than to have three full days. And the reason I say that is you're burnout period.
Yes, that's true.
You sit all day hammering on this particular thing, and it's going to get to where it looks like the same old thing over and over again. And after you get those half days in, then maybe after a couple of weeks you bring that material before maybe even we take the engineer that would come in, and we would sit with the commission and we would look at it, and you'd say, here are the points of interest that I think need to be changed. How do you view it? How does the state law view it? Which those are pretty well listed behind the whatever you're doing. But I would rather see you do half days as to be burnt out for full days myself.
And I can do it. I mean, y'all read this material before. So.
I would like to, if you don't care, ask Mr. Aegis, do you think that sounds more feasible? I mean, a person that's just trying to focus on so many things in this book at one time is going to reach a point of every day it's going to be a point. Did I read that earlier? I guess I did. I've read so much here, I don't know whether I did or not. Whereas a half day, you've got time that night to think, well, I need to go back and really check that out. I do more thinking at night than...
I do too.
You know what I'm saying? It comes to you, something that you maybe... And I hadn't even recognized it through the day, and something will come to you at night or of evening.
Yeah, when I get away from things, I can really kind of prioritize them a little better.
What do you guys think?
I'm happy to leave it to Eddie's
discretion
and how it works for him. I understand your point, and that's the way I would go. Eddie might, if he wanted to spend the schedule he's proposed to us, which is all day, I'd let him do it. But I totally understand what you're saying. For me, a half a day, I'd be wanting to get away from it. But either way, I'd be happy with either plan myself. Strophis?
Yeah, my biggest thing is I just don't want you to be over there.
Right. Well, I want to get it done as quickly as possible, so
yeah,
we go back.
I'd find that we have other office space over here, some place to actually get away,
okay,
and that you can leave it set up.
Yeah,
and that
because I'm going to have a
leave
lot of
it,
stuff.
Go somewhere else, come back to where it left, and it's just an office space.
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we're all in agreement on that, and I applaud you for getting that down, and as Chuck said, you're at your own discretion, but the thing of it is I would like the 3 days to be something that you would take off the table, because
okay,
you feel like you're obligated 3 days, and you've got something else that you need to get done, and you're thinking about it, and you got to get this done over here. But I told those guys I was going to work 3 days on this project. You're sitting off over here in a room with your mind back and forth. So that's where I'm at. I know how it is as a commission, as we sit here all day long on BOE, just for example, or other issues. At the end of the day, you're mentally exhausted to the point where you might not catch something that you ordinarily would.
I was thinking possibly the office that's prepared for a economic development director.
That's one there?
Someplace. 100%. That was on my mind. I forgot to mention.
So there, or there's one next to Dixie.
Yep.
You've got two in this building that gives you some peace and quiet. I don't know how much peace and quiet you'll have in the commission office, but We've got some places, but either one, it just needs to be set up and
I
left.
Tend to be a social creature, so the more isolated I am, probably the better.
I think down here in this room is better for you because we have people coming in with all kinds of stinking subjects. I mean, that you can't keep from overhearing.
Right.
Well, this may not be a good idea, but is it home a good place? I mean, your wife works?
Well, I think just to stay above any kind of criticism and everything, would be better that we didn't.
Okay.
Personally, I mean, this is something that needs to be done. It needs to be done in a timely manner. But I could run into the same distractions at home because I have a daughter that's in college in and out and stuff
okay.
like that. So, I think just to be above criticism,
would be better. I want you to know something, Eddie, too, that when you're doing this, I'm not going to apply any pressure to you, but you will be monitored. I mean,
sure.
Actually, whenever what comes forward and the amount of time it's taken, we're going to say, look, we can't continue on this course. Or,
right.
Hey, look, he's making enough progress. We think this is valuable to us.
Sure.
Does he need help now, or does we need to wait? Or so you will be monitored in the location that you're at. Not judgmentally on your part, but on judgmentally on what we think can get done for the citizen.
No, the more opportunity you have for somebody to drop in, it happens,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it's as I go through this, I envision in some areas having 6 and 7 code books at a time to get the best idea from it,
mm-hmm.
and every time you're pulled away from that, you've lost what you've been thinking about, so. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I know you don't. I just was going to tell you, that if you come in and the first 2 weeks you come in and we say, well, look, we really haven't accomplished what we think we are. Did you need some help here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to think, well, it was, I'm not doing the job. So they decided right. that, they're going to get somebody else to do this, this, and this right. whenever you're going to be under, I guess, monitored.
Well, this is a high visibility project. And I understand, and not only that, it's time sensitive. And I understand that, and I know there's going to be a lot of ruckus. It's just going to be. I know they're not going to be able to please all three of you gentlemen.
But it's going to be a bigger ruckus when you go to the public with it.
That's why we need to be content or convinced that we've done the best that's going to meet the needs of the county. As a whole, the minimum amount of interference, but meets the needs, whatever the case might be, and because once it goes, we've got to be willing to stand behind it. So,
okay, what else we need to discuss?
I think we've got a good. I think I applaud Eddie for having a good plan in place. I think
so
we've got a plan.
When you want to start this, Eddie? Next week? Are you going to start it this week? Can you make provisions to start this week?
I can make this week.
I think the sooner the better. Just start getting, we'll just locate the location of the office, get
the
stuff moved to there,
yeah.
and see if you can't start one day this week starting it.
That'd be fine.
And then, I like the idea, Danny, of half days. I would still block the whole days.
Right.
And that gives you a little flexibility. If there's something comes in the office, you've got some flexibility in the afternoons on the Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays or whatever, if it's morning or whatever. But I would still block the time and get everything ready and start. And then, because we need a head start, no matter when we ever hire the engineer, we got to get a head start.
Yes, sir.
Got to have some material there for them to review.
Right, and that's that's definitely. And so doing, once this begins to be written and formatted, the person that's doing that, of course, we're going to want to review that and make sure that as they're reading it too, you conflicted here, you didn't conflict here as much as you can. Of course, we know eventually it'll go to SMACOG. For a final review and everything like that, so that does make me feel a lot better that we've got the third set of eyes going to be looking at it, and plus you gentlemen and everything. But I think it is easier if we can give things that I feel settled with, maybe the resource we're going to use is settled with, that we can then bring you that in small sections and say here's where we are, and then if there's revisions and everything like that, then it goes right back into the system, but. To come in with a whole finished product and hand it to you, it's not going to. You're going to review a couple areas that you're interested in, because it's just too much time. So, Okay, so I will start setting up an office now. Do I need to do anything with Linda?
I think you would be well served to get with Linda with the RFQs we have on file, and then I would call pick the three engineering firms that are local. I know that I can't imagine the rates being competitive from Kansas City because they're going to but you can ask them, but get a rate based off of what we're laying out, how you're laying this out, which person would it be? And I would even go on to say that it needs to be the same person because otherwise you're reteaching.
Right.
And what would that hourly rate be for that person from each firm?
Okay.
And let them determine if it's a level 1, level 20, you know, whatever it may be. I don't know. But that way, if you explain it the same way to everybody, then you can make an informed decision.
And I would apologize to you. I just did not leave here with that understanding that was my job.
And we may have missed something clear.
And I will do that. And then I will, as soon as we get set up and ready to go, then I'll get back to you and give you this information, hopefully maybe by the end of the week, to let you know what we're doing and where we're going. So.
Great.
Okay, that's what I have. Anything else I can answer for you, gentlemen? Yeah.
Good meeting. Thank you.
And I will have Jennifer contact your secretaries to make to set up that meeting that she would like to have and everything. So.
If I might, for Ron Houseman's benefit, we discussed before you got here meeting with DNR on land disturbance. That's the meeting that Eddie was just now talking about. And I think it'd be something you'd be interested in and be of value in the next,
whatever we said,
this coming year.
We're going to have DNR come in and speak to us about their process and how it overlays or interlocks with our process and see if there's duplication of efforts. And quite frankly, wouldn't mind if they took care of it all. So, on that situation.
Ditto. Yep.
So.
All right. Anything else, planning and zoning?
No, sir.
Recess? Is that what you want to do?
Well, one quick thing before we recess. I sent Renee the email about water heaters. She has sent us some emails with questions of what to do.
And I sent an email to both of you saying I was a little cloudy. I thought maybe from what Danny had said that we're going to use DS&AF.
And that's fine. We just didn't clarify.
And it doesn't matter to me either.
It doesn't matter to me.
I guess.
Well, I don't know whether we said it that way, but that was their deal, that they said that's what they would recommend. And so that's the reason. I guess maybe that's the reason it was cloudy. Are you guys want to use them?
That's great. I mean, that's fine with me. Chuck, is that fine with you?
The email that I got, since I haven't got any while we've been in this meeting, but before that, that maybe the cost he gave us was not anywhere close.
Well, she said that they were $1,000 water heaters. He said they were $250 water heaters.
Exactly.
So I do know that residential water heaters, if they're $1,000 ones, they must be putting out some pretty good stuff.
Right. Should we ask Renee to contact DS&F and see what he was saying? And maybe he just gave a price, not realizing what they are. Things change. And
He looked at them. I mean, he actually flushed them out with vinegar and some other things. So,
all right. We'll instruct Renee to do that then.
All right. Well, anything else?
That's it. Did you have something else?
Well, I didn't know whether we were going to try to address some things with Bob about going into an executive session.
We got to post it. We don't have it posted.
Okay.
So we can post it, though. We'll have to post it one of these days this week. We got to deal with it. I don't know if we... Today's not the last payroll day. We have one more, don't we? It's a payroll issue.
I think it was last Friday, isn't it, or this Friday? Last Friday.
We have it approved tomorrow.
It's approved tomorrow.
Will there be one more check at the end of the year? See, I thought there was one more check at the end of the year.
I'd say you're right.
I think there's one more. We got to deal with it before that payroll. And you may not know what
But I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there's
I did bring an executive personnel that I'd remind you I'd like an answer when we meet.
Okay.
If we're going to meet, are you thinking Friday or?
Well, I'm going to see, because I want the individual here too. So let me get it posted. That's the right thing. I got to get it posted, and we'll figure out where to post it.
Exactly. That's what I meant was when we.
Yep.
So that's fine.
All right.
Okay. It's no emergency, so.
I don't think so, unless the payroll is an issue, but.
Yeah,
need to matter check on that.
Just check on it.
All right. Recess. Thank you.